All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 47 today. Today we have kind of an interesting topic. We're going to be breaking down the Hodge Trophy race. You know, this has been led by two guys, right? Spencer Lee, the 125-pounder out of Iowa, two-time national champ, going for his 30 this year. And you have the heavyweight prodigy, Gable Steveson, in his sophomore junior campaign, whatever you would call this year. Never won a national title, but it's also the number one guy in the country, so. It's kind of an interesting debate right there. Today, we're going to be bringing this down as unbiased as possible, seeing who really deserves it, but and who really should win. You know, obviously, there are more competitors in this field, such as Jaden Ironman from Iowa, David Carr from Iowa State, and as you go down the list, you got more and more guys. But first, let's just start off. David, what are your first thoughts on this?
All right, well, we already know that we disagree on this. I think Lee wins the Hodge this year. I think that overall, there's not really making any bones about it, unless Ironman or Carr does something absolutely beyond the expectations for them, which would still be, they're both the number ones in their respective weight classes, so they would likely win the national title. Wait, no, I'm wrong on that, because Caleb Young is number one at 157, but you know, if they were to win national titles, they would have to do it in an absolutely crazy fashion, because
Ryan Deacon, Gable, I think, is one.
Pardon?
I think Deacon's back at number one, 57.
Oh, Deacon's back at number one? Okay.
I mean, he's back, so I'd assume so. And Deacon beat Carr.
Right. Okay. So, and then you've got Spencer Lee and Gable Steveson, who are both so far above everyone in their weight classes. And I would say more Spencer Lee, just because I really cannot see anyone at 125 even realistically beating him. Gable Steveson, the question is always, always going to be Mason Paris. Right.
Yeah, but again, here comes the, you know, again, there's always going to be a question, right? If you're a Michigan fan, you're always going to pick Mason Paris, no matter what. You know, it's close enough where you don't have to say that. And Spencer Lee, you can be a fan of Penn State, right?
Yep.
Michigan's like, you can't say Robert Harris is going to beat Spencer Lee, right? That's just pure blasphemy at that. No matter what. I think there may be a couple guys in the Virginia Tech fans are really high on Sam Latona right now, and you have – again, you're always going to have the thing with Jacob Camacho there. I don't even know if Jack Mueller is still in college. He's probably not.
Graduated.
Yeah. And then, you know, who else is really there? Ravon Foley's a guy who's been up there but hasn't had the best start to the season. Devin Schroeder, I think, was one of the only guys to go a full 7 minutes with Spencer Lee last year, and he's already lost. You know, it really comes down to that debate. But if you really want to go dominance-wise, right, you know, something we already talked about that you don't see, normally, 125s like to score points from neutral. Spencer Lee completely flips that and scores points from top. Now, putting 4 points on top is one turn. Should a tech fall at 125 from a guy like Spencer Lee be rewarded the same as a tech fall from a guy like Gable Steveson with all takedowns?
I think – well, I mean, because right now, Lee is just pinning everybody. He's not even bothering with tech falls. And I think – right now, and Gable Steveson has also, yeah, he is, they both have all bonus victories.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to talk about dominance in wrestling, I mean, you just have to think about the very root of the sport. What is the ultimate goal? Pin everybody. Yeah. What has Spencer Lee been doing? Pinning everybody. And the thing with 125 is liking to score from neutral. That normally comes from the fact that I believe 125s are really difficult to ride out because they're very, very squirrely, right? Yeah. And then you get to college, where these are grown men cutting a bunch of weight, and they're really more naturally probably would weigh like around 140 pounds. We're talking these are generally like middle-sized dudes who are very difficult to keep down because of how mobile they are. A heavyweight, once you get him down, he's either going to pop right back up or you're going to ride him out for the rest of the period, right? There's not really going to be any super long stand-up sequences at a heavyweight match. Spencer Lee is so high percentage from neutral, and he's so good on top that – there's really no escaping him, right? The people who have beaten him, Rivera, Ronnie Bresser had that overtime win.
Nick Pitch
and Nicky Pitch, right?
And Nathan Tomasello.
Oh, Nato. Wait, when did Nato beat him?
Big Ten semifinals.
Right. Yep. Well,
like here's what I want to talk about. People talk about how Gable has the blemish of Anthony Cassar on his record. But people fail to talk about how many losses Spencer Lee has. You know, I think what you named there was just 4 or 5 losses, right? I think only two of them were to the same guy, Sebastian Rivera, at Midlands and at Big Tens. Gable Stevenson has two losses also. But the problem with that is how far up did Rivera go on to place? Third? Anthony I believe Gassar, so. Quality of losses. Like Anthony Gassar was a national champ that year.
Right.
Like
he, well, I mean, Sebastian Rivera was third behind Mueller and Lee.
Yeah, that comes to things. Like that where it comes quality of wins. You lost to a guy who lost to a guy that you beat.
So the quality of wins thing, this is my thoughts on this.
I'm talking quality of losses right now.
Quality of losses, quality of wins. Because at the end of the day, I think it's less. Because I remember you've said this. You think that, and 285 is objectively like super super stacked, right? 125 is just a race to be second, right?
Yeah.
And I, not to say anything on any Division I 125-pound wrestlers, obviously they want to be the best right now. Mm-hmm. But behind Spencer Lee is not a good guy in a division of mediocre wrestlers. Spencer Lee is a transcendent wrestler in a division of really, really good guys, right? 125 is a technical division, right? Because there's not a lot of guys there who just kind of horsepower people. I mean, you had Seabass, but he's moved all the way up to 141.
Yeah.
So I think whenever you want to talk about – this is what makes it so tricky, right? Because 285 is so stacked, and Gable Stevenson is just murking everyone in this super stacked division.
Speaking Spencer Lee, what you said about, you know, being a transcendent wrestler in a division of not good guys, right? There also comes the problem, right? Who's the number two guy at 125 right now? Let's say it's Dylan Ragusan or somebody like that. Dylan Ragusan, Sam Latona, somebody like that right now. You take them. Look at Mason Parrish right now. I know rankings are always going to have Gwiz because that mesh didn't count for rankings. He's always going to be number one guy because he has a world medal.
Yeah,
that's a world medal right there. Gable's number two. Parrish is number three.
Yeah.
Now Parrish or Bradley can switch from three to four. That's the number two guy and the number three guy in the country going at this. Objectively, number one and number two.
Yep.
That's not just a national final. That could be an Olympic trials final match if Gwiz wasn't given that one seed, right? Put Spencer Lee up against a guy like Thomas Gilman right there, Nick Soriano, Seth Gross. There also comes the argument is like, will he have the same level of dominance there?
So far, he has.
Yeah, but, like, against who at that weight? You know, again, you have Nathan Tomasello. You can make the argument.
Vito.
Yeah, Vito, Nathan Tomasello. But has Vito – Vito's essentially a second-tier guy, 57, right now. It's like Soriano, technically, I would put him above Gilman at this point, being for the sole fact that he placed higher at the whatever event that was in Iran, I think it was. Some country overseas.
France,
yeah. The Grand Prix, yeah. And then, you know, Gilman places bronze, you know, loses a controversial call. That comes down to the fact that, like, would that put Soriano over Gilman right there? Because Gilman has the last win over him. See, that's kind of the problem there.
My question for 57 kilos is just going to be, is it Fix or is it Lee, right? And it's kind of a shame that we can't see that match.
Or is it Gilman? Like, see, what I'm going to say about this is, Gilman has actual hatred towards Lee. It's not just like a match right there. It's like, I hate you and I want to hurt you. Right? And a mad Thomas Gilman is either going to dominate you or get exposed.
I feel like more often than not, it's been exposed, though.
Yeah. Again, but that's also... Yeah, like... Yeah, but... Dude, I'm trying to say, like, Thomas Gilman, you know, he's been technically the guy ever since Dane Fix left, right? These guys are going to attack. Once you give him on bottom, there's no telling what Spencer is going to do them. I would say Spencer Lee can't be the favorite right now until he beats him, you know? Gable's a guy who's done it at the senior level. Spencer Lee is a guy who made one run at a tournament and then was gone.
It was a hell of a run, though. Yeah. Okay, and then coming back to, like, Hodge, because that's just folk style. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing with this is that I don't think you could ever really make an argument against someone winning Hodge whenever they make history, you know? Mm-hmm. So if Gable keeps going at the pace he's going and Lee gets going at the pace he's going, so we would be looking at the two the first two people to bonus their entire season. But if Lee keeps pinning everybody, I feel like a pin matters more than a tech fall, just in the case of, like, it is the ultimate goal of wrestling, right? And it is super hard to do at the college level.
Yeah, and that's essentially what happened with Jason Nolf and Bo Nickel. You know, Hodge doesn't include the postseason, right? Even if it might, I think it was the one. If it did, it was the one match between Jason Nolf and Hayden Heidley that ultimately caused him to win that. Jason Nolf isn't a pinner per se; he's a scorer. These guys are gonna break you down and do that. Gable was easy to say, just fucking around with guys.
Yeah,
like, he could have pinned everybody this season if he wanted to, you know.
Well,
but I'm also,
then why didn't he, you know.
Yeah, then why didn't he? But, like, we all know Gable's a jackass, right? He wants – no, like, let's be honest. Gable's a jackass. He wants to embarrass you. That's why a lot of people don't like Gable Steveson. Does that take away – should that affect the stats right there? Probably not. Is it going to? Obviously, right? Lee's a likable guy. It's going to come down to that. But if you look at this, Gable pinned the number 6 guy in the country in 33 seconds in Luke Loughman from Illinois. And Gable has the fastest pin in the NCAA this season at 13 seconds. That's where that comes into play, right? And Gable has one major decision over Tony Cassioppi, who's a world medalist.
Yeah.
I think he's a world medalist. I'm pretty sure he made a world team right there, right? Or he didn't make it because of Gable Steveson.
He was like a junior bronze, I think.
Yeah, it's not like a guy who you just walk into a match to once. These guys have been wrestling over and over and over again since the time. Like, these have been top guys at the junior level throughout their careers. And by far, you look at heavyweights, it's a more stacked weight class, right? I think the only thing that can ultimately hand it to Gable is if Spencer Lee loses. That would just give Gable the trophy.
If either of these guys gives up a single loss, that immediately gives it to the other one.
Yeah, see, here's the thing here. People say Gable hasn't been dominant, right? I think a tech fall, a heavyweight has to be more, should be more just the same or at least just a little bit more than a tech fall 125. Especially when Lee's points are coming from just top offense. And Gable's, like,
which
would you reward more, right? Eric Schultz's dirty 30 tech fall or a guy getting taken down and turned 3 times with riding time?
The way that the rules are right now, they do reward riding and competent top wrestling more, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Gable Steveson at heavyweight is just this takedown machine, right? Now,
like, how often have you seen that, right? There's been Kyle Snedder, and even if you match the numbers up, how far did Kyle Snedder separate himself from the number 2? 1 point. Connor Medbury, there was 3 points. I'm pretty sure it was a 5-2 decision in the finals. Gwizdowski, overtime, and that was an upset right there. You know, Kyle Snedder was a pound-for-pound guy, but this is, again, before the year Lee came in, right?
Well, personally, at least, I feel like I could speak for everyone's experience, although this may be a stylistic thing.
Yeah.
I think taking someone down is easier than riding them.
You know, it's all going to depend on the guy.
Whenever you get to a competent enough level of wrestling where a guy knows how to get out from bottom, which everyone does at the Division I level, right? There's no one who's just like this easy kid to hammer on bottom, right? Being able to ride a guy out that knows how to do that, and he does the same thing every time. Spencer Lee will turn you with a bar and a half or a bar and a wrist. Mm-hmm. That two ways, right? So you've got this amazing – see, I love this debate because you've got this one guy, Gable Steveson, takedown guy, mm-hmm. and he will take you down in so many ways. He's already blast doubled people, high crotch. He got that nice body lock slam. He's got an amazing low ankle. He's got an amazing low ankle.
And his re-attack game is the best there is out there.
Yeah. And then you've got Spencer Lee, who will either left high crotch or knee pull single, mm-hmm. and then he will turn you however he pleases, or less however, more whenever, because no one can stop his bar and wrist, right? So you've got this specialist, and then you've got this dude who seems like he can do it all, at least on the feet.
Here's what I'm going to say about this, right? Look at the matches that Spencer Lee has lost. Right? What do they all have in common? He couldn't get a turn. Essentially showing that if you take that away from him, he's beatable. You know, there also comes you can't take if you can't take it away from him, you're fucked, right?
I mean, that logic would also apply to, you know, if you can stop Gable's takedown. If we ever saw, like, this defensively amazing, like, say if we, like, scaled Jaden Cox up to...
Gable versus Kurt Fu is probably going to be the prime example of that.
Yeah.
It's like, again, you have to look at, you know, obviously the past years aren't supposed to matter, but they're obviously going to, you know. People are going to say the vote's biased. It's been proven year after year. It's going to be slightly biased as long as
the vote's absolutely biased.
As long as it is. But again, with voter fatigue, you know, I think there are some things right there. But since we got on this, right? Gable, right now, in my opinion, assuming I put him over Gostkowski, is number three guy in the world. Behind Tagle and Gino Petrushvili. That's where I'm just going to put him. I can't put him over those two. Those are Olympic medalists.
Yeah. You know,
he could very well come out there and somehow just, like, take down Tagle with his low single and gut wrench him four times. I wouldn't be shocked. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Tagle came out there and just tech-falled him with that Russian single, the leg lace right there. But Lee, like, he's kind of a wild card, you know? He doesn't have the Olympic criteria right there with.
Well, 57 kilos is also a ridiculously stacked weight class at the world level.
Yeah, that's where that comes in. Like, I remember reading this guy's comment to me, like, obviously I'm a heavyweight page. I think he's dead even right now. I wouldn't necessarily pick Gable or Spencer Lee, but again, I'm a heavyweight. I'm riding for my guy Gable. That's I just have to do it. Like, there's nobody that's going to dispute that call. If you're heavyweight, you pick Gable. Or if you're an Iowa fan, you pick Spencer Lee. Anybody else, you're probably going to pick Spencer Lee. But it comes to the fact that, like, Gable's proven himself to be number one in the country. Spencer Lee hasn't done that yet. Because, you know, neither of these guys have competition at the college level right now.
When is Spencer Lee's next? What's Iowa's schedule right now? When is he supposed to face, like, someone who's, like, really, like...
Nobody.
He hasn't paced the top three.
I think he has Malik Hans. No, who does he have yet? I don't think Iowa has anybody, dude. I think Spencer Lee's going to go untouched till Big Tens.
And when... Because...
See, people were talking about 133. I will say that if Stevan Mitrić comes back at 133, may be tied with heavyweight for the hardest weight class. I'm only going to say that because DeSanto is fifth place All-American. He's not the national champ until he does it. RBY is the eighth place guy in Big Ten finals, you know?
All right, their next duel is Northwestern. So
who's that? Michael DiAgostino, number three guy in the country. Not that good.
And then you're gonna have, and then he's gonna have Eric Barnett. Is Eric Barnett ranked number two yet?
Okay, Eric Barnett may be the one guy that doesn't get banned.
Eric Barnett is just, well, okay, given his recent performance,
he wrestles up to competition.
I'm not ruling anything out. I except for, you know, beating Spencer, because holy crap,
it's possible, right? I think if anybody was gonna do it,
125 was right. Mueller Rivera. Now, it's still
a tough weight class. Who was Jack Mueller before that tournament? He was a nobody.
He's a dark horse. He was well known for his – he's got amazing hand fighting. Really,
but by the
really
normal wrestling fan, Sebastian Rivera, people were talking about – I'm from Jersey. Everybody was hyping Sebastian Rivera up to win it. Yeah. Right? That's all it is. Spencer Lee was he going to come back? Was he not going to? We were expecting that as a national final. Let's be honest right now, right? Or Pitcher Ninny was the real dark horse right there, in my opinion. Nobody really knew who Jack Mueller was. Jack Mueller is mostly known for that upset right there. And then
he's the best-known University of Virginia wrestler, in recent memory at least.
Yeah, but who follows University of Virginia? Let's be honest. How many
piles?
Yeah, obviously that, man. But, yeah, like let's look at this, right? And then he went on to tech Nick Pitcher Ninny at Beat the Streets that year.
Yeah.
Thing is, I really am really interested by his debate. You know, I obviously don't really care who wins. I don't think Gable really does either. That man has his eyes just – he wants that Olympic spot and he wants that medal, right?
Our trophy's nice, but, like, it's
– I don't think Spencer Lee cares too much either. Spencer Lee's
already got one. On.
Yeah. Both these guys make world teams this year. I don't care. I don't care if Spencer Lee wins. I don't care if Gable wins. How about let's talk about what can other guys do to potentially put themselves in the race?
Start pinning everybody. That's the only way that I can think of it. Like, if Jay Nariman
pins
Nick Lee.
Again, Carter Storaci. Well, DJ Washington, I think, might be undefeated right now. Mikey Labriola beat him. Mikey Labriola is undefeated. Michael Kemmerer did duck him, and or he was out, put Patrick Kennedy in. I will say this, at 174, my final is Carter Storace versus Mikey Labriola. I have Kemmerer coming third.
Under who? I haven't looked at the seeds.
I haven't looked at seeds either, but that's my potential. That's just where I rank them right now. We don't know if seeds still comes out.
So you'd say Kemmerer loses against Storace or Labriola?
Yeah. I think Labriola's solid in every position, right? I think if Storace goes on to win the national title. Hold up, look up for me if Hodge is regular season or just whole season. Because I'm pretty sure it might be just regular season right there. But even if it is, like, okay, here's a more interesting question. Where would you put Yanni in this if he was still in? Would he be above Gable or below Gable?
If Yanni was wrestling this year? Below Gable, just because he's not, like, as big of a bonus guy.
He wasn't as big of a bonus guy. Could he put bonus guys on a guy like Ironman, Nick Lee? It's possible.
I don't think he bonuses Ironman.
Right? I personally think he does bonus Ironman. I think barely he gets a major. I think Ironman's kind of not improved at the rate that he has. But, again, that's all opinion right there. You can't tell anything.
By the official Hodge criteria, Lee wins. Because first is a wrestler's record. Second is number of pins. And it's one season. But whenever two guys are, like, equal, they start considering past seasons. But right now, the way that it is, number of pins puts Lee above him.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, that was kind of Gable's fault himself. But, you know, let's be honest, Gable probably could have pinned everybody you went up against except for Cassiope. Right now, all that can really happen is if Lee loses a match. Right?
Well, and who do you think is really beating him is the problem.
Who had the best potential to do it? Patrick McKee, because he can throw.
Yeah, but I mean, did you say Pat McKee?
In my opinion, he would have been one of the guys who had a decent chance of doing. He got stuck in the first period. Yeah. I think Eric Barnett's a guy to watch to not get pinned. I don't think he can win that match, though.
I mean, apparently voting is due after nationals, so I suppose it also considers nationals.
Yeah. I think, again, if Gable puts up bonus points on Mason Paris. Or what if they go Co-Hodge Trophy? They can do that, right?
Oh, I think they can, yeah.
I think this might be a great year to actually implement that.
Yeah.
Right? Now that's, I think that's the interesting thing, like, they can talk about, because, right, Gable, if he doesn't win, would have been, I think, one of the best seasons ever, probably the best season ever, to not get a Hodge Trophy.
Yeah.
Spencer Lee's not miles ahead of Gable.
Spencer Lee is not miles ahead of Gable, but he's just miles performed ahead of everyone else in his division. Because, again, I think the thing that I always come back to is that with Gable, there was always the question of Mason Paris. There was always that question because Mason has kept it narrow with him every single time, if I'm recalling right. He's definitely never majored him.
They've wrestled once.
That was the one time they wrestled?
Yep.
Big Tens? I thought they clashed in folk style free. They wrestled in free, didn't they, at the RTC? They wrestled once.
He ducked him.
Jeez.
I don't think he ducked him. I think he's prepping for Gostowski.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think anybody thought before that Mason Paris was going to defeat Nick Gostowski.
See, because, like, if we think about it, so in the terms of the heavyweight division, you've got Gable, you've got Paris, and you've got everyone else.
Mm-hmm. What I would say right there is, I would put Matt Stenzel and Mason Paris up there. And that's for a sole reason that Stenzel did pin Mason Paris twice in the first period.
Yes, he did.
And he pinned him. Mason Paris has never gotten a real All-American. He's gotten a coach's All-American, but he's never gotten a real one. He lost in the blood round.
Right.
I think if Mason Paris is a better folk style wrestler than freestyle.
Yeah.
If he beats Gable, does that put him in contention?
I think it should, but
should get some award, to obviously.
Criteria, it won't.
It won't, obviously, towards criteria. But does Gable need to put bonus points? Because that's the number two guy in the country we're talking about, right? I think that's what he should
do. Bonuses everyone. Gable needs to bonus everyone.
Yeah, but I would say, talking about Mason Paris, I would consider him the number two guy for the Olympic race rather than the number two guy in the NCAA right there. You know, and obviously 125 doesn't have a true number two. Number three, we've already talked about this with Vito and Gloria. Gloria should be number two, but he's probably going to move down to number three.
Yep.
That's whatever it is. I don't think I think Brandon Patel from Lehigh, if he still exists. I doubt he does. I'm kind of, you know, after Lee dominated, it's really not even worth looking at the field at 125, let's be honest.
Pins everybody.
Yeah.
And he does it. He always manages it before the third minute. This dude has had a total of, like, he has had a match's worth of time in his entire season so far. And, of course, he's only 4-0 on the season.
Yeah, see, that's where my main problem comes in.
He's not wrestling enough.
Yeah. Like, you put a guy who wins four matches and give him the hot stuff in Big Ten's and NCAA's gives him the hot stuff. You're like, I just don't think that's fair to Gable. How many pins does Gable have right now? I know he has one over Maryland, one over Luffman. And who's the third one?
He's got one Wisconsin, over right? Connor Bose, Luffman, and Peter Christensen.
Let's be honest. He could have pinned the Michigan State guy, but he tech-falled him in the first period. Because he felt like it. And, like, if I shoot a video, Gable just snapped and spun, which is being an asshole to him for no reason.
Because he felt like it, I get the idea.
I get that, like, but again, it doesn't put him above the stats, right?
That logic is always shaky, though, right? Because I can always say, oh, I could pin this guy, but I'm just going to take him down a bunch of times. But having not pinned him, then
there's
I don't
a difference.
Know if I could pin him.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't compare, like, some random dude's wrestling experience with Gable, but it's just Hodge Trophy is generally about, like, hard numbers, you know?
Yeah.
So whenever
I think
you
that's
say,
where Spencer Lee kind of separates himself from that, right? Because obviously,
he better start.
Yeah. If Gable wanted to, he could have pinned Jamarcus Grant from Purdue. If he wanted to, he could have pinned Boone McDermott from Rutgers. But the fact remains that he didn't, and this is where I really can't defend that. Right, like, but it could also be said, like, it's not like Gable worked for the tech fall. It was an effortless tech fall where he waved at the crowd and just casually sprinted off the mat for content.
Yeah,
that's essentially what that was.
Yeah,
it's like if Gable wrestled to his potential, I'm pretty sure he could have pinned everybody this season. Maybe not Christian Lance. Christian Lance, I think, maybe with the one – Gable teched him, though. It was at 7 minutes. That's where – and Christian Lance in my list goes number five in the rankings above Colton Schultz.
That's where I have – I was just looking for whenever –
Yeah, from Nebraska.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I think we need to talk a little bit about
David Carr.
He's had 12 matches. Obviously doesn't put this up, but I think he should be talked about. If he puts together, like, a miracle run – if he can run the gauntlet, Hayden Heidley, Ryan Deacon, Kendall Coleman, Chase Aldate. If he can win 157.
Do you think that Aldate could realistically put something up against Carr?
Probably not. I will say that I know he went to overtime with Coleman, but people are talking about Coleman like he's. Coleman's up there, just top three. But we also can't forget that Ryan Deacon, 14-0, Kendall Coleman.
Yeah.
But he won 7-2 in Nashville. 7-2 is still a big gap. Right? Yeah. And then you got Brayton Lee, Caleb Young. 157 also has to be talked about as one of the tougher weight classes.
Yes.
And that's something a lot of guys are going to look over because there's no one real defined guy. Like,
Ryan Deacon. This is a problem, too, because of the conference, he's not really facing, like, he's had one top 10 match.
Yeah, and who's that? Who's that against exactly?
Jarrett Jacques from the number six, who he majored 14-1. So, for all intents and purposes, that may as well be a tech.
Yeah,
but obviously, on the record, it isn't a tech. So,
I think 14-1 has to be taken as like a high major, whatever you would call that.
I wish the gap was like 13-1.
Yeah, I also, like, what I'm going to say is I don't agree with Jaden Ironman being third on this list. I think it might as well be David Carr at this point.
Yeah, what has
I don't Jaden think Ryan Deacon, I think high. Ryan Deacon should be on that list too, above David Carr, but Deacon's only wrestled like one match this season. You can't really put him in there. I think the main thing that hurts Lee's argument here is the fact that he's only wrestled so many matches this season.
That is the biggest problem. All right, so Deacon.
Sorry, I think a co. I'll say it again. I think a co trophy, like, that wouldn't be a bad thing, right? These are two of the best seasons we might ever see at that. And then to
yeah, I don't see what puts Ironman that high on the rankings. He's had one top 10 opponent, and Chad Red, who he beat 8-4, and those guys have gone back and forth for forever. He does have three pins in a row.
Against who, though? Against, one's like Marcus Polanco from Minnesota, who's unranked.
Polanco,
he pinned Anthony Etchemendia. I know the name is obviously going to sound big, but like, what has Anthony Etchemendia done in college?
Nothing, really. Exactly. Has he won yet in college?
Yeah, he's won a couple of matches. Anthony Etchemendia is a freestyle wrestler.
He's only lost to Ironman, but
yeah,
he's only been pulling out decisions against some of these guys. Might as well be under. It's crazy how WrestleStat will just put like number 154 next to a dude's name. Like,
I mean, yeah, if you want to go all that into depth, that's not something I really want to head into. But you look at guys, like, it's crazy, though, to think about. Like,
Etchemendia got, like, really, really hyped up, and I think it's just kind of unfair.
I think he deserves the hype in freestyle. I don't think that's his fault that he got hyped up. It's like,
yeah,
he doesn't ever talk. He doesn't do anything. Like, he goes out there, he gets his stuff done. He's a humble dude.
Yeah, it's like, a story is why he's hyped up so much for this guy to, like,
I think come in freestyle.
Yeah.
Like, he got teched by James Green, but that match was tied with, like, 30 seconds left, and James Green called a lace.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, if that match were to happen again, like who in the world stops James Green's leg lace? Probably nobody.
No one domestically. I mean, the United States has always had trouble turning foreign opponents. Kyle Diggs' gut wrench and James Green's lace have been our best two tools in terms of parterre offense, though.
Yeah, of course. I think does David Taylor have it? No, David Taylor's not a big.
David Taylor doesn't turn any. Oh, he's got a bow and arrow.
Yeah, but how well is that? It's not too well at the international level.
Yeah,
he has to
take people to his back most of the time. Jordan Burroughs was killing people with that lace for a little bit, but I feel like Jordan Burroughs is just like the ultimate takedown guy, right?
Same thing, Kyle Snyder is just like – Kyle Snyder, people forget, like, his hand fighting in his gas tank and consistency and finishing shots makes up for everything.
Yeah.
Because he probably one of the most awful parterre guys I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't exactly have the greatest parterre defense, but that doesn't really matter if nobody can take him down.
Yep.
You know, nobody shoots on him because his hand fighting is so hard to shoot on. That's exactly where I see – that's why Saji Live kind of dominated.
Yeah.
Jaden Cox, what's the last time you seen him down? It's been a while.
Yeah, the last point scored on him was what, like Zillmer got a step out or some crap.
Yeah, I mean, I don't count step outs as offensive point. I wouldn't count them necessarily because I think obviously he got a leg and Jaden Cox kind of just hit the splits out of bounds.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that was just Zillmer kind of getting mad. I doubt he would have finished it because Cox's guy puts the anticipation on you with that. But what's crazy to me is, like, there could straight up be two. If Yanni was here, they could be three Olympic champions in the college wrestling season.
Yeah.
I don't think Lee can be the favorite at the international level. I think Yev from Russia, number one in the world right now. I think he has to be the guy. I think it's 65. I'm never going to pick against my country. Bajoring's my guy. But at heavyweight, I think I don't know who I'd pick, Taha Gour, Gino, Petrushvili from Georgia. I think it's possible Gail pulls an upset. I think it could be very dominant. I don't know. Because I don't know if Gail will match too well against foreign opponents.
I don't know if
Lee does either. That's kind of the problem. Yanni, we already know, matches up very well with his style.
Yanni wrestles very, like, foreign, but he's got that, like, American gas tank.
Yeah. And he's unlike other people, he's comfortable in all positions. Last time, I think Gable Russell Jr. match, he went upper body because he can go upper body with these college guys. College isn't the world level when he got tossed and pinned. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, just things, like, unexpected can happen. I think Lee's a guy who's going to be his top offense is going to be kind of shut down on the international level just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird seeing a guy who's so good at top and folk style go into freestyle whenever, you know, like his bar and wrist would be his best tool. He's got a really, really good trap arm gut because just, you know, the inherent nature of having such a good bar and wrist, he's really good at collapsing that arm to the body. Yeah. And that, I think this is the biggest thing that people are forgetting. Spencer Lee is high percentage whenever he gets to a leg. If he gets to that left high crotch,
yeah. See, this is the main thing I wanted to address with this is he's high percentage on what opponents?
Vito, again, who I don't agree with you saying he's second tier at 57 kilos.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say second tier. I think he's like second to like Soriano beat him, Gilman beat him.
I think Vito. Oh wait, no, because most recently, yeah, it's Henry Delgado.
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say right there, right? But I think first tier is like three guys max at every weight class, right? I think a heavyweight, the argument can be made for four or maybe even five if you want to count Tony Nelson.
Yeah.
But you know, is there a world medalist at 57 that medaled like at the past? I think Gilman might have medaled at one tournament.
Gilman got a world silver. Yeah. I want to say.
Yeah, he got a world silver. I think Zane has a world silver too, somewhere.
Yeah.
Some of these tournaments, Burroughs obviously the Olympic gold.
I mean, 65 is such a shark tank.
It's a young weight class too, which is scary.
Yeah.
The younger weight class. I want to say young. 74 is obviously the old guys. 86 has, you know, it's Taylor and Dean, in my opinion. Maybe Miles Martin.
It's kind of crazy. Like, everyone thinks, like, Dean is, like, super old. He's only, what, like, 26, 27?
Yeah. Dude, people forget how much of a beast Gabe Dean was. Like, I think Gabe Dean can beat Bo Nickel. And I don't know if he's even going to be that close. Or Bo Nickel might come out in tech, right? The match was decided on 1 point last time. I think it's when guys retire, they come back. It's like guys like, oh, you're old. You're not there anymore. I mean, the same thing at 97 too. It's like guys completely discarded Hayden Zilmer, Kyvan Gadsden, and Colin Moore. Like Kyvan Gadsden pinned Kyle Snyder in the national finals.
People are kind of like talking like Kyle Snyder fell off, which kind of drives me nuts.
I was talking about that too, but that again, I'll admit I was wrong. That was just an uneducated opinion. I look into it. I looked at the guy who's losing, like Muhammadian, whatever his name was. That guy only lost a 4-0 match to Sajulayev.
Yep.
I think there's people carelessly throwing Jaden Cox as number one in the world. Like,
it's this.
Jaden Cox is right here, in my opinion. Sajulayev is like up here. That's what I will say right now. And last time Colin Moore and Jaden Cox wrestled, it was a 4-6 match. Jaden Cox was a senior in college, and Colin Moore was a true freshman.
Yep. This is just so great because, like, everything is just so stacked right now. It is a really, really good time to be a fan of both U.S. college wrestling and freestyle wrestling just because you – like, none of these weight classes are really a lock except for maybe 86. Like
– I don't think 86 is a lock either. That was a 6-2 match last time.
Yep.
And Gabe Dean low-key might have gassed him. I'm starting to see some flaws in Taylor's gas tank. I don't know what's happening with that.
Ooh, that's a bold take, especially given what Taylor's known for.
No, I just saw against Dean, but again, that also comes into why Kyle Snyder would rock a David Taylor because of the hand fighting. Gabe Dean is known for his hand fighting, his defense, being hard to score on. Yeah. He's also known for when he gets into legs, he finishes. Same thing with Kyle Snyder. You know, what's his name? Gabe Dean is going to go up to – I think Gabe Dean's wrestling Kyle Snyder, I think it is. At the NLW.
Yep. Kyle Snyder is taking two matches at the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club event.
Yeah, was one of them against Gabe Dean?
Yep. I've got an article about this dude today.
Yeah, you see what they're doing? They're doing Max Dean versus David Taylor. Is that close? No, right?
No, not even slightly.
I think David Taylor kind of just went balls to the walls. You know, I don't think he gave Miles Martin any time to set himself back up that one time. That kind of led to tech. Do I think, again, you know, Hassan Yazdani is the guy to beat right there. He's not the guy to beat, but those are the top two guys. Or at least should be, in my opinion.
Yeah. Are they not in the world rankings right now? Is there a different number one and two?
I don't know. David Taylor's number one. Yazdani's number two.
Yeah.
But we go, you know, Taylor's world champ. Yazdani got pinned. But again, Yazdani was also making the move up.
Yeah. So now, like, Yazdani's like a full-on 86-kilo guy. But,
yeah, the straight problem with that is a lot of things I've seen with these – when these top-level guys move up, It's not moved from 74 to 79 and 79 to 86. It's moved from 74 to 86.
Yep.
That's what Saju Live did from 86 to 97. And he lost to Snyder by a point the first time.
Yazdani was always, like, a really large dude, though. Like, he's a physically, like, really long frame. So, like, the move to 86 was
You can
really
say that, nice. Again, that implies most college wrestlers. You look at a guy like Ryan Deacon. He's huge at 57. He was huge at 70 kgs. Moves up to 74. He's out here getting handled, kind of.
Yeah.
Against guys, like, the same caliber, not even, like, worse. Like, Evan Wick. Like, I know Evan Wick's improved a bit. But Ryan Deacon at 70 probably wins that match.
I still can't believe Evan Wick makes 74 kilos.
Evan Wick, I don't know, man. That dude is very interesting to me. Like, I've broken down stylized, one of the more intricate wrestlers, the way he wrestles.
He's taller than me, and he's making weight classes. Like,
yeah,
he's making 163.
People forget that he beat Alex Marinelli 16-3 the first time they wrestled.
Yep. He's very good. Yeah. It's just a matter of 65 being also very good.
We're looking through these matches right now. I got them on my phone right here. I don't think you can see them, but no, let's go through the matches that I don't think are a joke. You know, I can't say jokes. All these guys are good, but Vito versus Zack Sanders should be a tech for Vito. I like Zack Sanders. He's probably one of the toughest dudes out there, but it's probably going to be a tech. Same thing with Sean Russell. Zack Sanders versus Thomas Gilman. This one, I think, can be a little bit of a scrap. I think both some tough-ass wrestlers. Gilman's a guy who's not very technically advanced.
Compared
to other guys at this point.
He's technically advanced, but his offense
he's a brawler.
Is one thing. It's a single leg.
He's a brawler, though. You know, I think that's how gross.
He gets his hands locked on a leg. He has it to both sides. He has a myriad of finishes. He's scored very well on, like, a guy like Ethan Lizak, who has very underrated ability on the feet. I like that match, but I feel like
he also kind of gassed Lizak, let's be honest.
Lizak has always had gas tank issues.
Now he really doesn't. I don't know what this is about him. Like he's
at a proper weight class. Ethan Lizak is massive.
He was cutting a lot. Like he's personally one of my favorite wrestlers to watch. Like the difference between, you know, I was saying top dominance doesn't mean the same thing, but like again, y'all say that if Lizak was a top guy with his offense. But Lizak was essentially – Lizak might have had just as good a top game as Spencer Lee, just not the straight talent level.
He didn't have the gas tank necessary
to do
that. Yeah.
But if you put him at, like, 33, the competition was just so good that he kind of got shown out. And he didn't lose matches by a drastic margin. Like, in my opinion, he was the fourth best guy in that weight class. I think it should have been – No, I'll say is people are going to get mad about this, but I think Soriano was number one on that day. Nobody was stopping that man. Micic was number two, Fix number three, Lizak number four. And Lizak almost beat Dane Fix. If he didn't grow, he almost had a 4-point turn and he got reversed onto his back. If that didn't happen, who knows? You know, we'll go Sean Russell versus Thomas Gilman. They brought in, I think they're bringing in kind of easy competition right now. But here's a good one, Yanni versus Nashawn Garrett. I've said it myself, because Nashawn Garrett is a guy you cannot count out. I don't think he beats Yanni. Obviously, I don't think anybody does. But I've said it before, Nashawn Garrett comes up for a quick 4-pointer. Don't be surprised.
Right? Yeah.
Nashawn Garrett's one of the most, like, you know how selfless this dude is when he's literally on his Instagram live reviewing his own losses.
Yeah.
Dude's more about teaching than, like, anything. And I think he's one of the, he's a guy you cannot count out. A guy like that, who goes through all his matches, has a talent level, has already made a world team, you know, didn't get to wrestle because Joe Colon got the backup spot, whatever happened there. He's a guy you cannot count out.
His style is very upset friendly. Again, I've said this on previous episodes about guys like Nick Soriano and Dayton Fix. He's got like a good 4-point move, his double. My big problem with that would be Yanni doesn't tend to allow those, if I'm remembering right, he doesn't tend to leave a lot of entries because what Zane Rutherford did to beat him, He attacked at the ankles. He used his arm drags. He kept it a very narrow match.
And Zane's again,
Yanni doesn't tend to give up those big scores.
Yeah. Zane's essentially like a bigger Gilman, but better,
more varied.
Yeah, more varied. That's what I would say. Like he's gonna
got a double leg,
heads.
Single leg.
It's again how you beat guys
from,
from
an arm drag, and he's way more defensively savvy. Mm-hmm. He's a brick wall.
Yeah, you take a guy like Yanni. What's the main word I would call him? Is be patient.
I think Yanni wrestles like chess, right?
Yeah.
He's a very cerebral guy. Like, I think there's some guys who wrestle like, all right, right? Like, double leg, that's it. Like, you know, like Jordan Burroughs, Nation Garrett, these very powerful athletic guys. Yanni Diakamahalis is very athletic, and I think he's actually got underrated power because if you look at his earlier days, he actually has a really excellent blast double. But Yanni is always so, like, multiple steps ahead. He's impossible to get to when he needs to be. He doesn't really so much have that, like, brick wall defense in the sense that, like, his hips are just super heavy, although he actually does have a really excellent sprawl. But he's so good at – he puts guys in positions that they don't know what to do, right? But he does, and so it's kind of like that, you know, he's playing chess.
Yeah. So, interesting – again, no, like, he's not going to force anything on you, but he's going to do that. But, interesting enough, at this event, Yanni, Zane, and Nishan Garrett are there. I think we all assume that Yanni versus Zane isn't going to happen, right?
Yeah, it's not happening.
This early, it's not. But Nishan versus Zane, you know, this is, again, a matchup where I don't see any upset potential. I kind of just see Zane kind of blowing through him.
Zane blows through him. I think Zane, for one, is just bigger. And I feel like, obviously, Nishan is a very large dude.
Like, if Nishan,
in the non-Olympic, it's just that Zane is super powerful. Right? He's not going to get blown through.
Yeah. In a non-Olympic year, I will say I don't think there's anybody who can beat Nishan 61.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Unless Soriano, maybe the one guy.
I think Soriano's committing to like 57 kilos, though.
I think he's committing for the Olympics. I don't think he's committing for after. Because Soriano's a massive cutter.
Yeah, that's true. That you know, too.
And Fix, I think Fix would be a favorite for me over Nishan Garrett.
At 61?
I don't know at 61, but, like, in general, at 57, yes. I don't know at 61. That's kind of the thing, because we haven't seen Fix at 61.
Yeah.
Because Fix has a build which lets him cut a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Plus the special juice. You know? But, again, Evan Henderson.
Come on.
Evan Henderson's a guy, big upset potential right there. You know, he's an unorthodox wrestler. Lost Anthony Ashnault, though. I think the biggest dark horse of this weight class is, again, going to be Alec Petelio.
Yeah, I can't dispute you on that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think we're getting a little bit off topic, but I think there's some things I really want to discuss.
Yeah.
Nate Jackson versus Kyle Snyder. Nobody expected Nate Jackson to go 6 minutes against Jayden Cox. I will say it right now, I think Kyle Snyder is better as a straight scorer on guys just putting up points. Well, Jayden Cox is a picker and chooser, more a little more tentative than he really should be with his attacks. So I think Snyder might just kind of handle him.
I'm a huge fan of Nate Jackson.
Yeah, same.
I'm rooting for him so hard on this. And I mean, he's beatable. It's not like Kyle Snyder is completely untouchable. Right? I mean, even if you look at what, like, his last match with Kyven Gadson, even though he got hurt and that cost him the match, he was losing the match up until that point.
Yeah.
And Nate Jackson, you know, he's got an amazing coaching staff. He's got the right style to beat Snyder, I think. Because he's, what, like 6'3"? That's like half a foot-ish on Snyder. And he's got,
is it going to help Snyder, though? Or is
it
not?
His blast double is really, really great. And I remember at the
195 bracket.
The 95 bracket.
Against Miles Morin, yeah.
Yeah.
I would count that as four. I'll be honest. I think give the man the benefit of the doubt. He wins that match with that four. And Miles Morin is these are one of the guys, you know, he doesn't have that big of a resume. But he's been a guy, you know. And, again, I love Nate Jackson. He's a guy I definitely want to get on this podcast. After, if we do that collab, right, with the whatever, but he's wrestled more matches than anybody else.
You know what? I don't know. Nate Jackson's my pick.
Late in matches, matches.
I like the upset.
Yeah.
I like the upset.
Late in matches, when matches are close, Nate Jackson has proved himself time and time again to be able to win those.
If Nate Jackson can keep it somewhat narrow with Jayden Cox, then I think, because I ultimately my pick for 97 is Jayden Cox, right?
Yeah. I can agree with either one there. I can even respect the Kyven Gadson and Colin Moore pick. I don't think those are likely, but obviously, yeah. I think Colin Moore, Kyle Snyder, I don't know if there's any bad blood there, but if there is,
I don't think that's really bad blood per se.
I will say is Kyven Gadson has the upset potential of Kyle Snyder, and Jaden Cox has the upset potential over Jaden Cox.
Yeah.
Colin Moore has the upset potential of Jaden Cox.
But because of Kyven Gadson being so good in over-under.
But the problem there is I think Jaden Cox gets the bye to the semis and Kyle Snyder gets the bye to the finals.
Right.
With the trials being held on one day, this is where it's going to favor guys to get the bye huge.
Yeah. So
instead of all this, I know Gilman doesn't get a bye, which is going to – which might favor him more than anybody, right? Because Gilman's known for his conditioning.
Well, Gilman's also a stupidly hard cutter.
Gilman's mental mindset and with Soriano too is like those two guys are two guys you can't fuck with mentally.
They just want to scrap. They're completely
like they are brawlers. Like that's the best way to put it. And seeing a 125 pound guy and knowing that man could literally pick me up and toss me across the room is just scary.
Yeah,
like 65, those are more cerebral wrestling guys. 74 is just that's gonna be the match everybody's wanting to see, right?
Freak athletes. That's how I would describe 74.
I'd consider Isaiah Martinez like in that discussion too. I don't think he can be counted out for a title.
Imar has a win over Jordan Burroughs.
How many other people have that?
He decisively took him down. I studied that overtime post high crotch. I have watched that thousands of times.
It is so good. You know, just because he lost to Vincenzo Joseph twice, people want to talk about. You know, like if people talk about. Cassiope and Gable both pinning Luffman, y'all, man gets a lot of hate. Why? Luffman got caught. But that doesn't work when you're the lower-ranked guy. You can't say that. But that's essentially what happened, right?
Yeah.
That's essentially what happened to IMR, too. Right there. Yep. You know, second time he got straight up beat. But you also stress, it's not like Chenzo was just straight up better than him. They went back and forth the week prior. Yep. Epic tens. So I think Chenzo, if he can put together a good run, the dude's like... Dude's good. People doubt him way too much.
Isn't Chenzo is wrestling Kyle Jacobs, isn't he? And Jason is also wrestling Kyle Jacobs.
If I know Nolf is probably gonna get teched, but if Chenzo can I think both of them are.
Ooh.
You don't think Nolf gets teched by Kyle Dake? It says 79 or 74 is the question.
74 and
it would have to be 7. Yeah, but they were a while. I don't
think it's 10-0. I think, okay.
Nolf, what I will say is,
just Nolf weird was a enough, small 70 he to begin. Might get something.
Nolf was a smaller 70 pounder to begin with.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Ryan Deacon plays higher than him.
Yeah.
Nolf 65. I don't know where Nolf was cutting, you know, like.
Nolf. No way that Nolf can make 65.
I don't think anymore. I think after he came out of college, it was a reasonable thing.
He was a full-size 157.
Does Penn State have a 74?
Pardon?
Does Penn State have, like, a true-defined 74?
No, it's between Joseph and Nolf.
Yeah, so no real 74.
Yeah, I mean,
Nolf beat Chenzo 6-0.
Yeah, so there becomes
but Chenzo, I think, is again like not... Kyle Dake's not a scorer. Kyle Dake will manhandle you, and I think if anybody's susceptible to that, it's Jason Nolf. And who has the best defense right there if you get on his legs? No, I think Nolf's going to get taken for a ride. And does Jason Nolf have the athletic ability to straight finesse him like Jordan Burroughs does, though? That's kind of, I don't think
finesse, but I do think it's just – it's just weird enough that I think Nolf scores maybe 4 points in this match, right?
Like, 4 points.
In the entire
match. How many people in the world have scored 4 points on Kyle Dake? Like, I think 1 point, like, that's crazy, dude. Like I'm not a huge fan of Kyle Dake for the sole fact that I don't think he deserves, like, next time that match happens with him and Chamizo, I'm taking Chamizo at 74.
Oh, really?
At 74. I don't think Dake deserve to lose that match. If Chamizo wasn't so small, he wouldn't have got wrenched.
See, and then there's the thing. If you would pick Chamizo to lose now, obviously, you can't compare the scrambling ability of Nolf and Chamizo, but if we're talking about two dudes who can scramble really, really well, Nolf is also fitting that category.
The thing is, Nolf hasn't been on the international level that much.
Yeah, so that's
I think Nolf can score maybe a step out and a takedown if he's lucky, or a four-pointer. Four-pointer is like craziest scenario in the world. That's probably more important than like me going out there and blast doubling Nick Wazdowski.
Yeah.
Like that's how crazy it is. Like, when's the last, like, I've seen Kyle Dake get taken down. I've seen Kyle Dake get leg laced. But Kyle Dake now is in probably the best spot he will ever be to make a team.
Yeah.
Kyle Dake kind of screwed himself over last trials and went 86.
Yeah. I mean, he did very well.
Was it he lost in the semis to David? He put himself in way too stacked of weight class. 74.
He didn't lose in the semis to David Taylor at 86. He made the finals against Jaden Cox, and he took a match from him.
That was the finals?
I thought the finals was Cox
versus Taylor.
No, because Taylor and Dake wrestled in the semis of that year, I believe.
Because I remember Jaden Cox was in both of them, and I don't know how that would work. I'm pretty sure Taylor was the finals.
Because
that's the one where Jaden Cox almost tore his knee. But, yeah, I'll just walk through.
We're talking 2016 Olympic trials, right?
Yeah, they didn't exist in 2012. You know, again, I think matches we can talk about here, Gabe Dean versus Kyle Snyder. This is going to be a little bit closer than I think most people expect. I can either see Kyle Snyder running right through him or you know, I don't see Gabe Dean winning that. Let's be honest. I think Scotty Boykin, you know, I hate to be like that, but Snyder walks through him, right?
Right.
Gabe Dean versus Bo Nickel is the matchup I want to see, obviously. This is a revenge match for Gabe Dean. I think if he wins this, this could put him on track for something big.
It was Dake and Jaden in the finals.
It really was? It was, okay.
Yeah, it was Dake and Taylor in the semis. Yeah, and he beat Jaden Cox. I mean, Kyle Dake is inhumanly good. I just don't think.
But you also have to consider this is a college sophomore, Jaden Cox.
Yeah, I don't think Nolf gets 10-0'd. That's just all I'm going to say. I don't think he gets 10-0'd.
So hear me out. Chenzo got teched by McFadden, 13-3. Kyle Dake teched McFadden 10-0 in the 10 seconds into the second period. I'll say it right now, I think McFadden's a better wrestler at 74 than Jason Nolf. I think McFadden's a guy who's improved a lot. People really don't give him enough credit.
Right.
I also don't think Nolf is going to do that well in freestyle in general, but compared to his success in college. Yeah, no, that may be it, but I think, again, this matchup theoretically should be walked through by Kyle Dake.
Yeah.
Right? Anything else here? I want to talk about Jimmy Mullen versus Chase Horn, but I doubt you know anything about those two.
It's Chase Horn who's ranked number one, isn't he?
Yeah, I have Jimmy Mullen win the match. That's my boy. I'll be honest with you.
I think Mullen wins as well.
Mullen's number four, but he's only going to his sophomore year. One in New Jersey. Yeah. He could be the first four-time heavyweight state champion in New Jersey history. Granted, that's probably not that crazy, but if you look at it in the big scheme, I think he's a four-time state champ at an upper weight class is practically unheard of most times. Like, when's the last time you've seen a heavyweight four-timer in college?
Never.
And you know what? It's probably never going to happen.
Yeah.
Gable couldn't do it. Snyder got pinned his freshman year. Gwozdowski was nobody's freshman year. Tony Nelson placed seventh at NCAA's his freshman year. Right? Like, even winning three titles is the epitome of a heavyweight. I think if Gable wins three, it can't really be kind of towards him or against him, but
can Gable win three?
He technically can, but does he even stay in college that long? That's the real debate. I don't know what's going on with man. For having his eyes set on the WWE, he's a pretty fucking good wrestler.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to the we were talking about the Hodge Trophy. We'll get back to that now. But who is a real dark horse? Who do you think gets the number two spot at 125?
At 125.
Or if there's anybody that can possibly go 7 minutes with them. I think if somebody goes 7 minutes with Spencer Lee, Gable moves above him. That also means that I stand.
Because, again, considering on how on track, I mean, it depends because, you know, Lee bonusing everyone would be really I still think the loss breaks it because, you know, even if he majors a dude in 7 minutes, because a major is also a bonus, you know? Because, again, we're looking at two of the first bonus, all bonus seasons, pretty much.
Yo, Gable's doing it in a hard weight class, though, and especially he's doing it. Like, you know, obviously every weight class, no weight class is easy, but look at the competition at 125. I think the guys that can beat him.
I think Lee's just nobody. That good.
I think the guys that can go 7 minutes on him, maybe Ragusan, because Ragusan kind of impressed me against RBY.
Maybe.
I think Ragusan low-key might have walked through Robert Howard. I think Howard's a guy who can hold his own. I think if Howard takes enough crack, again, I've said it before, he can go a whole 7 minutes eventually.
That dude wrestles like an absolute nutter.
I don't know the last time I've seen Robert Howard turned, but...
Yeah.
Robert Howard lost to Sammy Alvarez in overtime. That's something we have to talk about. Like, Sammy Alvarez upset him in overtime. In right. State finals.
When? Oh, state finals?
Yeah. He's okay. Junior. Huh. Four-time state finals. He lost to Antonio Menino, who wrestled, who I think still wrestles at Drexel. He beat Mitch Polito, who wrestles at Lehigh sophomore year. He lost to Sammy Alvarez, the Rutgers do this year, and he beat Mackenzie Bell, who wrestles at Ryder now in senior year. One of the most accomplished guys never won four state titles.
Right.
Again, you know, these are guys, like, that can be beaten. Like, it's been proven before. Will they or will they not is the real question. Like, Spencer Lee's lost before. Spencer Lee's been pinned before. Gable's lost before, and Gable's been pinned before.
Yeah.
These are not things we're talking about like that. And, like, I think I've been said it, like, if someone has the wild card factor to break his major – would be Mason Paris, Matt Stenzel, or Colton Schultz. Yeah. Colton Schultz is infamous for slowing down offenses. He's done it very well. At 125, can anybody
just have him wrestle out of 184 catch weight at this point? I swear to God, there's not going to be any.
Yeah. I hate people who bring up the weight thing to a heavyweight. It's like, it's crazy. Like, you make Kyle Snyder 285 pounds. He doesn't beat anybody. He doesn't All-American. He looks like a fucking donut.
He doesn't wrestle like he does if he weighs 285.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you bring Adam Kuhn to 220, he gets rid of – probably depleted. You take all the fat –
Adam Kuhn goes 220, he's going to be like the ultimate ankle picker because he's what, like 6 foot six?
Yeah. He's a Greco, yeah. Dude. We've been knowing this. Size kills in Greco. It's been known for a while now.
Yeah.
And like size doesn't really help in freestyle. We've seen bigger guys lose to smaller guys all the time.
Wisdowski.
Gwizdowski's 270, Gable's 255, and Gable beat him 4-1. Yeah. Now, granted, Gwizdowski does it prior to win, so series-wise, he's still leading.
Yeah.
No, and then where does Spencer Lee fit in the conversation at the international level? I don't think he's in it from any international person's eyes. He's in it from the U.S., not really anywhere else. But again, if you had to say, where do you think Jordan Burroughs, as a casual wrestling fan, if I asked you, where do you think Jordan Burroughs goes to the Olympics, where do you say? Gold.
Casual fan?
You say you're a casual wrestling fan. I ask you, oh, where do you think
he wins?
You say he wins.
Like a casual fan would probably be like, oh, he texts wins. Kyle Dake. And
yeah, if I say you're a casual fan, you think Dake's gold. If a casual wrestling fan, if I tell them where's Gable Stevenson place, they have no idea who the fuck Taha Ghoul is. They don't care who Gino Petrushvili is. They don't care who Kenmore Rakimov is, Kumeo Gassemi, any of these guys who still exist. They don't care who any of them are. They say Gable Stevenson gold because all they've seen is him dominating this level, right?
Yeah.
The same reason you can't compare Gwizdowski at the international compared to Gable at the college. That's night and day, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Nick Sirianni is going dominating international opponents, especially he's doing this. And Nick Sirianni is just a pure wild card. I think Nick Sirianni could come out there and text Spencer Lee for all I care. That's an exaggeration, Alex. But I think there's a possibility.
I think they wrestled at senior nationals, haven't they?
No, I don't think so. Nick Sirianni's been MIA for a while. It was 5-2 in the national finals, right? I think if Nick Sirianni was at Penn State, didn't leave Penn State, he would have won that match. I think that was the one way. They had the tools to make him the guy. They had the tools to make him a four-timer. Got injured right. Freshman year. You know, obviously can't do anything about that. But
yeah,
he could have won the national title. That's all I can really say right now, you know. Obviously, you know, you can't be like what ifs. I really want to, but that's all. You can't say that, you know. We'll never know. I think Gable he's in a four-man weight class, right?
Yeah.
So that Dom Rally is the veteran of the weight class. If anybody makes something special happen, it's him. Mason Paris, you don't know how – if Mason Paris keeps making the improvement he's been making, he could very well come through and win a gold medal at the Olympics.
Absolutely.
Wazdowski has been the guy for the past 3 years, and Gable's the favorite. So this at 57, everybody sucks off Spencer Lee. Let's be honest. Nobody even acknowledges anybody exists when they talk about that. What has Spencer Lee really done? He's been at one event, right?
Yeah.
That's not enough criteria to put him as the favorite. Yeah. Gilman, Fix should be the favorite. Then Gilman, Seth Gross, Nick Soriano, guys like that. Then Spencer Lee.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't beaten any of those guys at senior level right there, right?
Yeah.
There's still the question right there. It's like Gable's proven he can beat the best guy in the weight class. Spencer Lee hasn't proven it yet. You know, obviously they're saving the match for the Olympic trials, but we don't even know if it's going to happen. If Spencer Lee makes the finals, he gets this anticipated matchup. If he beats Thomas Gilman, it's like, okay, he's the real deal. But he needs to medal at the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think if Gable performs good, takes bronze. If he performs amazing, he can take gold.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think he's a wild card again, that right? Because foreign opponents will catch you slipping.
Enough.
And he's been caught slipping before.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I will say that. Like these guys are not invincible. You can't talk about anything like they are. Yanni almost got pinned by Mitch McKee. Like anything can happen.
Yeah.
But people don't want to talk about it. Like that was insane. And, you know, it's always going to be a valid debate, right? It's not blown out of the water like anybody makes it seem, right?
Yeah.
If Lee is right here, Gable's right here.
Yeah.
99% of the comments are going to say Lee. 1% are going to say Gable. That doesn't mean he's that much better. That just means, obviously, if it's here, it's pretty apparent that it's here. Everybody's going to say Spencer Lee. It doesn't mean it's just blown out of the water like that.
Yeah. Now,
again, I have to pick Gable every day, but I think, again, it's tired now. I think we can both agree that probably a Ko Hodge winner would be the way to go about this.
You've got to go Ko Hodge this year.
I think it might be because Gable is probably going to be one of the best season ever to not win it.
Yeah.
And, like, think about it, periodically over time, Spencer Lee is the first 125 to win a Hodge trophy.
Yep.
Gable would be the fourth heavyweight, I think, after Kerry McCoy, Stephen Neal, and Steve Mako.
Right.
Look how crazy that is. Those three aren't the best heavyweights to come through, to be honest.
Yeah.
Kyle Snyder, Nick Wazdowski, Tony Nelson never won one, Zach Rain never won one. Stephen Neal, I think, can be put up there, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know about Steve Mako, though.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Steve Mako, I think, was kind of overrated in kind of a weaker era.
Yeah, I mean.
Didn't say that, though.
It's a matter of how he did it, again, because, like, that foot sweep was just.
And then he got kind of bodied by Cole Conrad.
Yeah.
You just look at the build of them and you say that, but, like, you watch them wrestle, like, it was just a different style.
Yeah.
And then came the era of, like, Zach Ray, kind of brought in, like, a better build of heavyweights. Tony Nelson was, like, the cream of the crop of that. Of the build out there. Then Nick Wazdowski, he's like, okay, slightly smaller, more athletic, can scramble.
Yeah.
Kyle Snyder, I don't think could be really even in this confirmation of revolutionizing heavyweight. I think he was just a guy. He was sitting out.
Just a product. I mean, an extreme example because he was really small for the weight class.
He was also just better than everybody. Like, he was just that much better. It's not like the size is the reason he won. I think if he had a little bit – if he was built like Wazdowski, he would have molested everybody in that field.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anything to be said. I think Wazdowski's the guy. Like, people ask me why I would pick Wazdowski for Gable in the folk style match. I think it's easy because people forget how good – Wazdowski was known for being a scrambler.
Yep.
Like, he can scramble fit very well. And he did it to a guy like Cops Nine in the national finals.
Yeah.
Just because he loses once off of overtime, everybody discredits that immediately.
Yeah.
Make your freestyle push-ups are a thing now. You know? You throw Kuhn against Snyder. Like, you can see a tech out just off of 10 push-ups from Adam Kuhn. Like, that's possible.
Has that ever even happened in freestyle? I want to know if there's ever been a tech that's all step-outs.
Probably. Probably not the highest levels of it.
Yeah.
It's like when you're taking somebody in folk style, like you're taking a fish, right? You're going to take him down, let him out a bunch of times, you're taking him down, start turning him.
Yeah.
right? You're not just going to take him down, keep throwing him, get like 30 seconds of mat time. It's like that. And like, I think Gwizdowski had shown on a lot, right? He doesn't look that too dominant at the America's Cup.
Yeah.
But Dom Bradley is a bitch to score on. Like, he's the hardest guy to score on. I'll say that right now. He's a brick wall. You've seen how strong that man is.
Yeah.
That man doesn't get enough credit also as Christian Lance for how strong he is. But going back to that, with Nick Gwizdowski, if you watch him, Mike Mao commentated the best, right? Gwizdowski has an agenda for every match. Don Bradley said himself, Nick Gwizdowski is the best match manager. Gable said, Nick Gwizdowski does every little thing right. No, he's obviously not as talented as Tagore or Gina Petrushvili. And it's going to be a while before he finds somebody who is. No, whether Gable can be that guy or not is dependent. Obviously, let's assume they both win national titles, right? And they both go undefeated. I think if Lee goes 7 minutes and Gable majors Mason Paris, I think it's in Gable's favor. You know, obviously, right. They're just going to discriminate against the heavyweight. It's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the Hodge Trophy, but we've also never had a 125 come through and dominate like that.
Yeah.
I think if Anthony Robles can win the Hodge at 125 – you know, that seems like the place, you know, obviously seems kind of messed up to say, but that seems like the one place where it could be biased.
Yeah.
Again, a guy having one leg coming through.
Yeah.
Hands down goes down as the most inspirational match ever, but, you know, again, I think a guy, I don't think there's ever been a heavyweight that puts up as many points as Gable Stevenson. Yeah. And I don't think there's a good chance there will be, right? Because records are made to be broken, you know?
Yep.
Like I've said it before with Mihan Lopez and Alexander Carrera, but again, do you agree with that, right? The whole split trophy. Yep. When's the last time they had this though? Has it happened before?
I don't think it has.
I think that would be a good thing to look into because I think if I present that idea, that might be a ground where people can agree on. Because I think Gable just not getting any compensation for what he's done is just kind of unfair, right?
Yeah.
It's happened before. I know it's happened once, I'm pretty sure. Like Cale Sanderson or something, right?
He won it. Yeah, Cale won it 3 times.
And who he split it with?
He won it just four wrestlers to one of the other wrestlers because two of them, Nick. It doesn't say.
Interesting. I don't know, man. I think these are all going to be good conversation topics at the end of the day. These are things like there's no winner, there's no loser. You don't know until it happens, right?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Spencer is probably going to get it. I really hope that Gable does, right? But I think everybody would be fine with the split trophy.
Right? Yeah.
If you split it between Iowa and somebody from Penn State, there's like, oh, you don't want to do that. Because that's going to start a bunch of shit. But like,
yeah.
Minnesota, it's not that good.
There's no doubt it's between Gable and Lee. So yeah, split trophy would not be that controversial.
Unless Ironman pins for the rest of the season.
There's
you know, caliber opponents, like number 6 guy in the country. Spencer Lee most likely cannot beat that. The 33-second pin over the number 6 guy in the country. And you know, I went over why Gable did that, right? Tony Katz said we pinned him in the cradle. Gable's like, okay, I'll pin him in the cradle and I'll do it faster than you. Mason Paris pins the Maryland dude in the cement mixer. What did Gable do?
Cement mixer.
Faster. 13 seconds, to be exact. Yeah. Like, Gable can do it. Gable's all about playing the mind games, right? Mm-hmm. Lee just gets and gets done the business. You know, again, I've said that people's opinions are going to change based on what he does on and off the mat. But for the Hodge Trophy, that should not count. But it is, which is going to hinder Gable a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So anything else we need to get to? I really wanted to talk about Jake Wenzel from Pitt, I think it was, that beat Makai Lewis.
Makai Lewis has been wrestling?
Yeah, he lost some 3-0. I remember the Pitt wrestling page posted, oh, Jake Wenzel defeats Makai Lewis 3-0. Makai Lewis suffered an injury in the third period with an exclamation point on Twitter. Somebody comments back, an injury default isn't a win. And then the Pitt Wrestling Club, being the arrogant the fucks that they are, comment back, yes, it does. According to the NCAA rules, an injury default is a win.
It was 7-1, too. So, I mean, it's not like he...
It was 7-1? Yeah, again, you know, Ben Askren said a 7-1. He was up 7-1 in 5 minutes wrestled. Yes, it should count. And then Kyle Bracken, this is the part where I don't like the dude in general. I don't think he has the knowledge of wrestling that he should be working at Flow Wrestling. And I don't think he's a great marketing expert to be running the social media page. But I said what I said on the chat. If you see it, fuck you. Nah, I'm kidding. But, let's be honest right now. Like, is he the best guy to be doing this? Probably not, right? Like, Willie was better at ranking stuff. And then he dipped to Rockfin. You know, I'm biased here. I think if Wenzel was up 7-1, started at least half the matches over, he deserves to be ranked higher than Mekhi Lewis.
Yeah.
I think we'll agree on that.
Well, you beat a guy, you should be ranked higher than him. I don't care if it's by injury. He still won, and there's no one who's going to dispute. Okay, so WrestleStat on Wenzel's page said it was 8-1, but on Mekhi's page it said it was 7-1. So
we'll just go 7-1, 8-1. I don't think that makes a difference at that point. I think if
it's not a major,
like I don't agree with what you just said for the sole fact that when Nolf was up, remember when Nolf tore his ACL or something?
Oh yeah, against Van Brill or whatever.
Yeah, obviously Nolf was out of the rankings at that point. But if he wasn't, he just defaulted out of that match. You and James rankings. Let's be honest. Like, Van Bro's a fucking nobody. Like, I'm from work. I like workers, and I hate that. And that dude is a pain to watch. But that being said, right, 7-1, change it. Is Shane Griffith even wrestling? I don't know. 165 looks to be swinging Alex Marinelli's favor a lot right now.
Yeah.
Again, I've said it. A guy to watch out for, Andrew Sparks. Lost 8-4 the last time, I think it was. But, yeah. Well, that's a true freshman right there.
Yeah.
The kid who's only wrestled 4 years, you know?
Yeah, that's the craziest part. He started wrestling.
If Andrew Sparks wins a national title, you know how many views that podcast is going to get? Dude, I love talking to that dude. He's a great dude, too. He's shy, but, like, you know? Dude has big things coming. Like, he's not even, like, he doesn't present any crazy problems, but, like, he's consistent in the attacks. Like, he does, exactly. Like, the big things, right? Not like he doesn't present like superior speed, superior strength, anything like that. He wrestles, he goes out there, and he has fun. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And 165 historically has been a cursed weight class. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah, never been a 4-time champ. It's only has there even been 3?
Not recently.
Yeah.
David Taylor 1-2. Jordan Burroughs 1-2. Even going back to that, people only go back to, like, armbar. Even before that.
Yeah.
Alex Marinelli never won any. Mekhi Lewis won one. Say if Andrew Sparks wins this year, and then Marinelli comes back to win two and it restarts.
Yeah.
But this is all speculation again. I'm just thinking way too much about this. I think there's a chance he does. I don't think there's a very good chance. You know, obviously, I don't think anybody likes Marinelli. I feel bad because he doesn't do anything to nobody like him. People just don't like him.
Isn't that like he just wrestles hard. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just like
he's got an amazing post high crush.
He does, and that like the drop down double is amazing too.
Yeah,
but again, you put a pull of him and Chenzo. He's 3-1 against Chenzo. Pull going Chenzo's way every time.
Yeah,
even with the Iowa fanboys, it's really crazy to think that.
Yeah, it's really weird
because he's labeled as a choker.
Yeah.
Like, the dude doesn't do anything. People just don't like him. I don't know what that is. Like, DeSanto, like, there's an obvious reason not to like him.
Yeah.
Like, Spencer Lee, there's no reason not to like him. Everybody likes him. You know, who else is right there? Caleb Young. Caleb Young is back, I think. He could very well win a national title. I think it's Deacon's way. I will keep saying that. Deacon or Carr or Cole. I said Coleman last year. I said Ryan Deacon over Kendall Coleman. That doesn't look to be aging very well. I think David Carr is a good one. I don't like Hayden Hiley making the finals. I've said that before, but yeah. So overall, where do you would put Wenzel above Mekhi Lewis still in the rankings, right?
Well, yeah. I think it's dumb whenever like someone like Eric Barnett still isn't ranked number 2, even though he beat the number 2 guy, which I think is just ridiculous.
I mean, you can't be moved to number 2 after that. That would just move him down and you above him. On the hot one, that ended up at 20. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
They always went off the fact that he got caught and pinned, you know?
Yeah.
But it was also a one-point match before that. It's not like the match was too out of hand. I think he should have moved up to like 5.
I still don't – I will say this till the day I die. That match was not a fluke. That was an excellent adjustment made by Barnett slash capitalizing off of – because what happened was he went –
I don't know – again, I don't know about pinning him. I know about scoring the points. That's what I will say.
Yeah. Sorry, my phone.
Again, you know, every time you get put in a position like that and pinned, technically you got caught, right? Because if you got caught for 2, no, you said you gave up 2 points. That was essentially should have happened, right?
Yeah.
No, and Dylan Ragusan's kind of huge. Dylan Ragusan, Rob Howard, and Sam Matone are 2-3 huge wild cards.
Robbie Howard very could – I don't think – obviously he's not being Spencer. I don't think he's even really like a top 2 guy, but he could be top – he could be 3rd.
I think there's a possibility he makes the finals. I don't think there's – who do you think makes the finals then? Ragusan's my guy, obviously, right now.
Ragusan.
I think Howard can beat him if he does good. Howard's a 3-time cadet world champ, but he's not a nobody, right?
He's not a nobody. He's very good. I just think that
he's not very clutch.
Yeah.
Like 2 of the state finals he lost were in overtime.
I don't think he hits that duck on Spencer Lee. That's just it.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
He's not even a big duck guy. He's a big re-attack guy.
That too.
And he wrestles like he's on a can. He drank like 10 cans of Red Bull or fucking snorted an ounce of crack. I don't even know how to explain it. Like he's literally scared. Like, do a like double cartwheel over your head.
Yeah.
I remember one time on Wrestler Grind's post, somebody was like doing this move. I'm like, why, as a joke, I was like, why didn't the guy just double cartwheel and get out of it? And some guy was like, they're drilling. I was like, oh my God. I can't even say that. I'm about to get canceled for this shit too. I don't even care anymore. But I said what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, though, so we've came to a conclusion.
Yep.
Ko-Hodge is probably the best choice, but since Lee is the favorite right now.
Yeah.
Gable Steveson will remain that because Gable Steveson, it's a known fact that he is a man while Spencer Lee is a child. And he takes better pictures than Spencer Lee. I'm sorry.
That's fair. That's fair.
And one can grow a beard and one's stuck with that ugly ass goatee. No, no offense. Like, I like the goatee. Like, it's just hard for me to take a man seriously. Like, he's a hell of a wrestler. I give him that. It's just hard. Like, the dude's like 5'3".
I mean, 5'3", and he would fucking tilt you like there's no.
I don't know about tilt me. I think I could just probably lay flat. He wouldn't be able to grab anything. Yes, he is to lock up that gable bar. The gable bar tilt, whatever it's called.
Is that what it's called? Bar.
He's not locking that up. I doubt Gable could lock that up on me.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking huge. I think maybe Tony Nelson might be the one guy, or Adam Kuhn.
All right, is that everything we're aiming to cover?
Yeah, I think so. If you guys have any suggestions for us to cover next time, I know we're starting to get a little more consistent viewers since we rebranded the podcast. I've talked to Derek. We may have him on soon. He has a bunch of things going on right now. Once it gets over those, we may have a third person on this podcast. Who really knows? But, yeah, any final words?
Not really. No, it was good.
So, thank you guys for listening. Comment your thoughts on this debate down below. Who you think will win it, who you think should win it, and what do you think is actually going to happen? Because right now, split's probably the best idea. I want Gable to win it, but Spencer's probably going to win it. That's just the way it is right now, but. That being said, thank you guys for watching the Late Night Shots podcast, and we will see you guys again next time.